Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the debut edition of Jedi.Tax Radio. I'm sure that's not going to be the final name, but I'm sticking with that one for now. I'm your host, Rogelio Noriega. I am a CRTP, which is a California Registered Tax Preparer. I've been helping people in financial planning for some 33 years. I've been at it for a little while. Don't know everything, do know a lot, but I'm always learning. That's part of taxes, and I'm probably one of the only ones that will tell you. If I don't know something, I'm going to figure it out. It's not that difficult because we have lots of reference materials at our hands. Not only are the programs that we use great, but with this noggin and the help of the IRS and California, and let me see which other states do I prepare in, Arizona, Nevada, Oregon, Colorado. I'm looking at some imaginary map. And yeah, I know, I'm bragging. Missouri, I picked up 3 clients in Missouri this year. Texas, Louisiana, Florida, I'm sure I'm forgetting, Delaware, Maryland, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Illinois, and I'm sure there's some other about there around, but I've been doing it for a little while. I specialize in income tax preparation. I handle corporations, partnerships. I handle nonprofits, do a lot of stuff. So I've been doing it for a little while, but Jedi.Tax came into being officially, legally, I think within the last 2, maybe 3 years, but I've owned the rights to Jedi.Tax for about 5 to 6 years, but it took me a while to set everything up, and I've been doing so now. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Facebook, or I apologize, find the firm, because there are quite a few people in the firm. I apologize. I keep looking to my left. This is my office. This is where I conduct business, but my computers are to my left. Yes, you'll see some of the toys behind me. All the toys behind me have been given to me by my clients. And as we go along, I'm sure I'm going to – I'm going to have to show off some of them. Considering I love the Navy, I have a model ship behind me. I know, I probably scared you right now. I'm showing the back of the head, right? This is one of the fine ships that's behind me. Of course, it is the Vengeance from Star Trek Into Darkness. The grammatically incorrect Star Trek Into Darkness. But that's all right. My English teacher is only rolling in her grave. At least I know of one of them. I don't know about Sister Mary Sean, but that's neither here nor there. Yes, I went to private school for 4 years. I was a lucky dog, I suppose, or lucky angel. And had a darn good education. Prepped me for the rest of my life. But anyway, I'm going on and on and on. I'm really excited. This is something that I've wanted to do for a long time now. And, oh, I do want to say that we are recording on YouTube as well. So we're going to be updating the channel. I ask you to visit Jedi.Tax. And I already have a question in the chat room. Is there a live stream? Not on Facebook today, and I do apologize. I am recording it on YouTube, so it will be up on our YouTube channel, Jedi.Tax. I'm going to have several monitors, and I don't know if I'm prepared for that. I apologize for the hum in the background. The AC is going, oh, man, it's 84 degrees, and we're still waiting to install the air. But I do have a portable air unit. But anyway, I'm going on because that's what I do. You've just gotten a taste of an interview with me, but I have a lot of stuff I want to share with you. Jedi.Tax is going to premiere, is premiering today, and it's going to be on the first month of the first Sunday of every month, and the following or the Sundays in between, we're going to have reruns of all the episodes. So we may go weekly, I doubt it, but for now it's going to be monthly. And since you're here, it's going to be somewhat of a class, study session, history, economics, tax law. Oh, lots of things are going to be in here. I'm putting out a call to other private tax firms, public tax firms. We're going to be inviting guests from around the United States, probably even around the world, to come in, share their stories, share tidbits, their knowledge, their expertise. This is something that I'm doing for me, as well as for my clients, and as well as for the tax community out there. something I wanted to do for a while. But let me give you the syllabus, I guess. I don't think the synopsis would be appropriate. Today we're going to be going over taxes. Where did they originate from? Why are they here? And I'm going to give you some basis on that, some of the arguments. But I want to tell you that our tax course will begin on August 2nd. And we're going to be talking about – no, actually, the week after, we're going to be talking about the W-2. We're going to be talking about tax forms. And we're going to be talking about specific W-2 forms for particular states. Now, I'm based out of California, but I do have offices scattered throughout California and New York and Texas. So we have the agents that are – and I'm going to be bringing them on hopefully as well one of these days. So do you have any questions? Yes, I'm all over the place. You should know this. I'm all over the place. So if you have any questions, go ahead and email us. Actually, don't email us. Well, you can go through Facebook. You can go through ndbmedia.net where this program is hosted. You can find us on Facebook. It's Jedi.tax everywhere. Find us. Our website is Jedi.tax. If you have a question that you need help with or want answered, go ahead and find us on Twitter. We are the IRS man or Jedi.tax. Send us your questions there, and we will endeavor to answer them through the Twitter account. Follow us on Twitter. Let us know you heard us. Let us know you saw us. We do need to know that. We're just as insecure as anyone else who's on the internet. So on September 6th, we are going to start with the actual tax program, part one. Basically, it's going to be who, what, and with. Two, we're going to be discussing income and all sorts of income. And for those of you that have been in the business for a while, you're going to know that part one, yeah, that's your status, family, and all that stuff. Yeah. I've divided the tax form, the federal tax form, into six parts, and that's what we're going to be doing here. So in November 1st, we're going to be talking about adjustments, which will be part three. On December 6th, the date before, which lives in infamy, but actually I believe over in Japan it's December 8th. For us, it's December 7th. But yeah, I'm in another persona right there. December 6th, tax filing part four will be deductions that we're going to be looking at. In January, we're going to be looking, part five will be taxes and credits. And then finally, part six, of course, in February, just the very beginning of tax season, we'll be talking about refund and balance due. We're going to look at some states. We are on the West Coast, so predominantly California. But as I mentioned, I have preparers in Texas and in New York, and we're going to be talking to them as well when we can get them to join us. So I do want to welcome Sup4 School in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. If you have an advertising opportunity, by all means, you have it here. Contact us either through Twitter or directly on the page, roger@ndbmedia.net. That's for the advertising stuff. So we have a brand new slogan, which we're going to debut. So I'm going to give you a taste of it now. Shamelessly, it's a plug, but it's no pay to play. That's what we're going to be advertising. And it's going to have the catchphrase. It's a slogan. You know what it means. It's you're not going to pay up front. We'll take the money out of the refund or we'll figure out something. But it's no pay to play. And we're going to be getting that ad slogan going in December of this year. But all right, starting off with today. For those of you that have been in business for a while or clients, whatever, you know, death and taxes, the only constants in the universe. Forgive me, my voice is going. I got to take a hit. And I'm going to cover up the name of the drink, but you know what I'm drinking. Oh, my voice is going already. So, every year, normally on April 15, taxes are due. If you're a fiscal year tax person, you could have a different 12-month period. Those are the ones that we call fiscal years. Otherwise, you're on a calendar year, which almost everyone is on. It starts January 1st and December 31st, and the day of reckoning is normally April 15th. Now, for other items, we have March 15th deadline for corporations, partnerships, and stuff like that. Don't quote me on those right now because I didn't write those down, but the calendar is littered with stuff. This year, our tax year has been extended to July 15th. So I am very busy, and I'm getting very, very busy. But there's always room for more. We have a staff of about 15. So if you need assistance, just go ahead and contact us at Jedi.tax. Oh, damn. How many times have I already mentioned Jedi.tax? I think I did again. Well, we'll see. In my 33 years of doing this and working for my uncle, Prudenciano Santana, he's the one that sent me to school, and I guess I'll give you a little bit more history of myself. As I finished high school, I was adrift, aimless, and he called me over to his office one day, and he said, what am I going to do with my life? I don't know what to do. The summer of 1987, said, you're going to school. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm registered for college, but no, you're going to go to H&R Block. I have no problem mentioning H&R Block. I worked for them for 3 years, as recently as 2015, and I worked there. I kind of officially started late 87, but 88 and 89. You will rarely ever hear me speak badly of H&R Block because that's where I got my start. For those of you that are interested, you can always start out with them. Wonderful training program. They're absolutely awesome. But that's, we are starting a tax school ourselves. But that's a little later. We'll get to that. If you guys want a video stream on Facebook, let me know if you guys are interested in that. I'm going to work on it, so I'm going to have to set up two cameras. But for right now, I am going to record it on YouTube, put it on our channel, and then also move it over to Facebook. So, all right. As I've been going on and on for a little while, where does the United States get the authority to tax you? As you know, there are many people that have said income taxes are unconstitutional. Well, first of all, if they're unconstitutional, why do they take it out of your taxes or your paycheck when you sell a property, any transaction? There's a collection of taxes. And people love to say that there is nowhere in the U.S. Constitution that says it is legal for the United States to collect income taxes. That is true to a certain extent, and I'm going to clarify that. To answer people, and on video I have this, all four stations here in the office have a copy of the Constitution, a copy of a book that I have here. I have all the amendments, the preamble, and all that stuff, because this is where our authority is derived from. You have the Constitution, which is a mere, depending on which version you have, 17 pages. It is downloadable at ndbmedia.net for the announcement of this program. It's also downloadable in the description for this episode here on Blog Talk Radio. So, the U.S. Constitution is there. And as I mentioned, where do we get our authority? Well, if you look at my Twitter feed, a little bit of trivia. The date of birth for the Twitter feed, actually, do I have it right here? And this is from a long, long time ago. I'm going to see if it actually does show up. And I don't see it right. Oh, yes, here it is. There it is. Okay. For those of you that can find Jedi Tax or the IRS man, check out the birthday for the Twitter feed. And I've had that on forever. But in addition to the Constitution, we have our Jedi.tax operations manual. Woo! Hey, look, it even has my name on it. Yeah, everyone has the name on their operations manual. And yes, it is purple, just like Jedi.tax the firm. So that's our color. But if you move over to the Constitution, you know that it was written in where they could amend the Constitution. Our forefathers were rather smart in that the law of the land could be amended as time would move on. And sure enough, it was. For everyone in the tax business, you don't know it, you should know it. It's the 16th Amendment. It is the one that pretty much talks about our rey de trade. Yes, I used a little bit of French there. I know I'm going to be reprimanded on that, but I got to go back to the chat room and see what's going on. All right. The 16th Amendment reads as such. Well, first, let me tell you, it was actually passed by Congress on July 2nd, 1909, and was ratified on February 3rd, 1913. And note, this is under the notes for the 16th Amendment. Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution was modified by the 16th Amendment. Hey, let's look at Article 1, Section 9. What does Section 9 say? Can't find Section 9. I'm a tad embarrassed. Because it goes straight to Article 2 after Section 8. I think they... This has to be corrected. Ooh. Oops. Actually, Article 9 may have been removed due to this. There are certain versions of the Constitution which you can download, which show you the Constitution that stands now. And then there are others that have the original Constitution and with the amendments. And the version that I have does not have the corrections. Ooh. Ooh, Scott Rogers is going to have to do some work on this one. But all right, we'll see. Article 16 basically says this. The Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on incomes from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. It's right there. It's in the Constitution. Everyone's going to tell you that no, or those that don't want to pay taxes. It's not in the Constitution. And you have these seminars that people say, let us show you that it's not in the Constitution. Baloney. It's there. It's in the Constitution. You can find it. Now, there's a little more to this that also in the description of this episode and on the post at ndpmedia.net for this program, I've attached copies of the Constitution along with the amendment, of course, and the federal tax code. People have asked, or it's come up in conversation. And I, of course, brag, because I know this. For those of you that know and don't know, the tax code is approximately 70,000 pages. No one knows the tax code. There's a little bit of a caveat to that. If you follow the links that I put in the programs, you will see federal tax code Title 26. Of the U.S. Code. That has to do with the Internal Revenue Service or income taxes. When you download it directly from the federal government, it's only 3,912 pages, but there are thousands and thousands of citations, and those citations are what lead us to the 70,000. But when you look at the purest form of the tax code, it is between 2,000 to 4,000 pages. That's it. That's what it comes down to. And the document is downloadable. It is there for you. I think it's a nice little trivia, but you can go directly to the horse's mouth and check it out, Title 26. You can download it from the internet. You can buy the book. Very, very expensive. I was shocked at the U.S. bookstore. It was in the hundreds of dollars. So, yeah, I'm just... 3,900. I'll get around to printing it. Oh, sorry. You saw me shiver right now because I felt the portable air finally reach me, the AC unit. Forgive me. I'm going to take another hit right now. I need a shot of my liquid crack. So the authority for income taxes every April 15th for the common folk is Title 26 of the U.S. Code. I mean, out of the 16th Amendment. Coming out of the Constitution. As you know, the Constitution happened in 1787. So go ahead and figure that one out. I've given you a little bit of history, and I do want to touch on a few things that are going on right now with the situation of the economy and COVID-19. And these are going to be specific stuff that I have to get out word now because it is very important. The CARES Act provides relief to Horizon and Savings Plan participants. Now, Horizons is a unique code to a particular time of savings program. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about either a 401, 403, or 457. What is that? 401C, I believe, 403B, and 457G. Those are the paragraphs, sections of Title 26 related to a 401k, a 403, or a 457. That's what those are. It's the line numbers in the code. You can look it up. There are rules that changed in 2020. So I'm going to give you a quick little cheat sheet on that stuff right now. As you know or don't know, there are basically two types of IRAs. There's what we call the traditional IRA, and then there is the Roth IRA. Yeah, it's not going to look good on video. While the traditional IRAs share many characteristics with its newer sibling, the Roth IRA, both offer tax incentives for saving for retirement and early withdrawals under certain circumstances. Each is governed by a distinct set of rules. This is a quick summary of IRA rules. Of course, always speak to your tax consultant. JedI.tax. Quick summary of IRA rules. The maximum annual contribution limit 2020 and 2019 is $6,000, or $7,000 if you're age 50 or older, up from the 2018 limits of $5,500 and $6,500, respectively. I love using that word. Contributions may be tax deductible in the year they are made. Investments within the account grow tax deferred. We'll probably talk about in the future. But basically, if you earn anything, you don't pay taxes on it right away. You pay taxes on the withdrawals, and that we will discuss in one of the upcoming evenings. Investments within the account grow tax deferred, which is what I just said. Withdrawals in retirement are taxed as ordinary income. So the whole idea of a 401, I mean an IRA, is you get the deduction today and you save for the future, and when you retire, you'll probably be earning less and your tax rate will be much lower. Hence, your tax rate will be better for you when you retire. So you're deferring your taxes. The IRS requires individuals to begin taking money out of their account at age 72. Wow, this changed. People who turned 70 and a half in 2019 or earlier were required to start distributions then. See, for us, when it comes to retirement, there's two rules that we need to know, 59 and a half and 70 and a half. And long story short, at 70 and a half, you are supposed to begin taking max or required distributions. So what is your expected lifespan? How much money is in there? Divided by how often you want to take it out. Do you want to take it out monthly? Talking about the withdrawals. Do you want to take quarterly, every other month, semi-monthly, bi-monthly? Oh, yeah, okay, semi-bi, yeah, whatever. Every 6 months or every year. But you have, based on how much money you have at 70 and a half, you have to divide it by that. So if you want to take an annual withdrawal and your projected date is 78 years, so it's very simple. 78 years is 70 and a half. If you have $100,000 over the next 9 years, you have to take out approximately $11,111. Not always that easy. And it depends when you make that election. Remember, 70 and a half could happen in between tax filings. But anyway, unqualified withdrawals before age 59 and a half may trigger a 10% early withdrawal penalty. And, of course, the taxes. And the reason why you have to pay taxes on it is because when you put money aside, you get a break. It reduces your taxes. So if you're going to take it out, guess what? You have to pay taxes on it. But because you took it out early, before 59 and a half, there is a 10% penalty. So you get hit twice. A lot of people don't understand that. So let me give an example. If you earn $50,000 and you take out $10,000, your earnings are now $60,000. That's what you're going to be taxed on, whatever your tax rate is after your deductions and credits. If you're married, filing and joint, we'll just say $60,000. You subtract $24,000 from that. And, well, I'm reaching for my calculator. I'm working it out already. And it's going to be $36,000. You pay the tax, normal taxes you would on $36,000. But once you figure out the tax, whatever it be, we'll just call it 10%, $3,600. Well, you took out $10,000 early. Penalty on that $10,000 is $1,000. And forget if you're in a state, California, ugh, you get reamed. But all right, your tax of $3,600 now goes up by another $1,000, $4,600. That's that 10% penalty. And that's why you get taxed on it twice. The point is, you put the money aside, you leave it there. That's what it's supposed to be. Traditional IRA contribution rules, having earned income is a requirement for contributing to a traditional IRA, and your annual contributions to an IRA cannot exceed what you earned that year. If you earn $5,000, that's it. You can't put up to the maximums we mentioned a little while ago, which is $7,000. You can only put up to what you earn. Otherwise, for 2020 and 2019, the annual contribution limit is $6,000 for those younger than 1,000, for those older than 50. That's up from 55 and 60. Yeah, sorry, I already read that. Well, I mean, they repeated it. You can contribute to a traditional IRA and Roth IRA in the same year if you qualify for both types. Make sure your combined contribution amount does not exceed the annual limit. There is a limit as to how much you can put aside. And I haven't looked into it right now, and it is my fault. It is whether you're an active participant or not. Active participant means that you are with an employer or entity that has a savings plan. And the little box that says retirement is checked on your W-2. That is an active participant. So I'm spitballing here because I've come to rely on the programs more than I care to admit. But it still comes into play, the active participant as opposed to non-active. But I'm going to have to clarify that. I have to make a note, IRA, active participant, and what that means. I'm not going to define everything today. When we get to IRAs, we'll talk about that. Okay? If you don't qualify to make a deductible contribution, you can still put money in the traditional IRA. With the Roth IRA, if you make too much money, the option to contribute to an account is off the table. The traditional IRA keeps the window open a crack and allows contributions, but not a deduction. As a consolation prize for being denied the upfront tax break, the IRS delays taxes on investment growth until you withdraw those earnings in retirement. Meanwhile, the contributions you put in after tax come out in retirement tax-free. Hey, that's cool. Keep in mind that income limits apply to traditional IRAs only if you or your spouse has a retirement plan at work. I just said that. If neither of you or your spouse has a retirement plan at work, your contributions up to the annual maximum are fully deductible. So I'm quite happy with myself. I discussed active participant right there, but there's still more to it. There's no minimum required. What? We're already at 90 seconds? Oh, boy. Well, I'm going to have to go over because there's just a few more items that I'm going to go. So I apologize. I just got the young lady to tell me. So we're going to go over a few minutes so I can end this on my terms, which we're close to ending anyway. But we're going to go over 30 minutes. There is no minimum required amount for opening an IRA and no rules about how much money you must deposit. Note that brokers set their own account minimums, but the requirement is often lower for IRAs versus a regular taxable account. At some brokers, it's even $0. But when you consider they have annual fees, $20, $30, $40, by definition, you have a minimum. That's me following that forward. For more on your brokerage options, I have some stuff that you could see. You could email me on if you would like, or you can visit us at Jedi.tax to talk about it further. Traditional IRA deduction rules. With the contribution rules out of the way, it's time to find out how much of the contribution, if any, of you are allowed to deduct on your taxes. The answer to the deductibility question is based on your income and whether you or your spouse are covered by an employer-sponsored retirement plan. See? Active participant, such as a 401k. If neither of you has access to a workplace savings plan, you can deduct all of your contributions. Remember, the maximum is $6,000 or $7,000 if you're 50 or older. Traditional IRA income limits for 2020 and 19. These income limits apply only if you or your spouse have a retirement plan at work. The upfront tax break is one of the main things that differentiates a traditional from a Roth IRA, in which no tax deduction is allowed for contributions. It's also one of the things that makes a traditional IRA particularly beneficial for higher earners. It reduces taxable pay for the year whether or not the saver itemizes on their tax return. Itemizes. That's deductions. That's going to be lesson four. So that one is going to be in December. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy Hanukkah. Happy all that. You're going to get a Christmas present from Jedi.Tax in December. Deductions. Investments in traditional IRAs go tax deferred, as I mentioned. But those taxes are due when money is withdrawn from additional IRA. You got an upfront tax break. The IRS didn't tax investment growth. You didn't think you'd get out of paying taxes forever, right? Well, when you take it out, whatever your tax rate is, you're going to have to pay on it. So 59.5 is not necessarily a milestone for anyone, but it is for the IRS. And it was 70.5, but now it looks like it's going to be 72. That is cool. So if you need the money before 59.5, these are the exceptions to the rule requiring account holders to wait. You have qualified higher education expenses for yourself, your spouse, your child or grandchildren of yours or your spouse. You're using a contribution of up to $10,000 to buy, build, or rebuild a first home. You have unreimbursed medical expenses that exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. That comes into play on Schedule A. Deductions. That's our Christmas episode. You become totally and permanently disabled. You are the beneficiary of a deceased IRA owner. In the year become a parent, through birth or adoption, you can withdraw up to $5,000 from your IRA, thanks to the new SECURE Act, which went into effect in 2020. Thank you, Congress. So there are just a few things. Now, Roth IRA withdrawal rules are quite different. They're penalty-free and tax-free withdrawals of contributions are allowed at any time, which is what makes the Roth a better option if you absolutely must tap into your retirement savings early. However, when it comes to tapping into those earnings, the rules are more complex. And let me put it to you this way. I am no way going to get into those rules right now, but I'm going to hint a little bit. When you put money into a Roth, there's no deduction. You can, within 5 years – okay, let me go back. 5 years ago, you put $1,000 in. 4 years, another $1,000, whatever. You have $5,000 right now. You're in your fifth year. You complete the fifth year. So you can withdraw the first $1,000 that you took out or put in 5 years ago because it's been 5 years. You can't touch the other four yet. But in the next year, you can touch that other $1,000. You've got to wait at least 5 years. But there's more to it. Okay? Now, the other benefit to the Roth is if you put in $5,000 and you let it sit there, and by the time you retire, you walk out with $100,000, well, this one's an early Christmas gift. All the earnings are tax-free. That's the benefit to a Roth. What you put in, no deduction, but what you get out, there's no taxes. Whereas the inverse is with the IRA, traditional, you get a deduction up front, but you have to pay taxes on the back end. Wonderful plan if it's appropriate for you. But those are a quick, simple look at some of the changes that have taken effect in 2020 and that we're going to be looking at in the next classes coming up front. Oh, classes. I'm sorry, sessions, radio programs. But it is what it is. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I'd love to hear your commentary. If you have any suggestions, if you want us to discuss anything in particular, send us a comment on Twitter. But we're going to end this one right now. I want to thank Sup for School. Thank you for the comment in the chat room. And I thank everyone else, both listening live in the archive. Find us at Jedi.Tax, the IRS man. And, of course, ndbmedia.net. You can find a schedule of all of our programs. This episode will be playing next week again. And then again. And then again. And then on August 2nd, we will have our episode 2. And it might be our version of Attack of the Clones, but we'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for spending time with me. I am Rogelio Noriega, 33-year vet, CRTP in California. And keep me in your thoughts I am going through my insurance certification as we speak. I'm going through my ITIN certification as we speak. And it's tax deadline in a few days. So we're out of here, guys. Thank you. Appreciate it. Remember, there's only three constants in the universe: death, taxes, and Jedi.tax being able to help you. We'll see you guys on the other side. Peace.